Good morning. My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're excited to have you here this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to figure out this weather. I mean, yesterday I think it was like, what, over 60 degrees, was it? I mean, I was wearing a jacket and it was hot, and not that I'm complaining because I'm from Jamaica. I love the heat. It's just that, as I said last week, I like when things are predictable, all right? All right. Now, if you were here last week, we spoke about, we're continuing in this series talking about, we're going through the book of Luke and we're seeing, you know, some of the stories that Luke documented, and we're trying to unpack a few of them and see how we can become better believers, how we can become better Christians as we go through this book of Luke. And this mini-series is called Jesus Style. And last week we looked at this topic of obedience. And how many of us were here last week? Okay, good. So you're going to talk back to me, right? So in obedience, we said last week that when it comes to obedience, we must be in a place to hear, right? And we said it's not about being in a physical place, but it's a place where your heart is able to receive from God, right? But not only should we be in a place to hear, but we, you know, it's an invitation to change. When God calls us, when he instructs us, it's an invitation to change, right? And then finally, we said that hearing God is good, change is good, but if you don't have the courage to act, then it's for nothing, all right? So we must have the courage to act. And so this week, we're going to continue, and we're going to talk about extraordinary love. And, you know, someone might be here today and say, okay, you know what, Pastor, I heard what you said last week, but how does love relate to our faith? We said last week that in order for our faith to grow, we must be obedient. Yes? Thank you. Okay. In order for our faith to grow, we must be obedient, right? But I don't know about you, but I find that if I'm going to submit my will to someone, if I love that person, obedience is an easier pill to swallow. Yes? I mean, if I trust you, if I love you, then submitting my will to you is much easier. And if you, you know, if I don't find you lovable, then it's going to be hard. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, extraordinary love. Now, let me say on the upfront that it's going to be a tough message because God has been just working on my own heart with this message this week. And, you know, if God is working on your heart, I'd love to know how he's doing that. It's going to be a tough message. But you know what? It's God's word. Amen? Amen. So before we get started, let's just pray, and we'll see where the Lord takes us this morning. Bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, we say thank you for allowing us to be in your presence this morning. Your spirit and your presence is welcome in our midst. I pray, dear God, that you'll give us ears to hear, eyes to see, but above all, God, that you will transform us exactly where we are. I pray to God that even as we listen to this message, we'll not listen to it for someone else, but we'll listen to it for ourselves. And I pray to God that you will make our hearts soft, make it receptive for the things that pertain to us. Father God, we tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at extraordinary love, and we're just going to be looking at 2 points. And the first point is we're going to look at the nature of extraordinary love, and then we're going to look at the outcome of extraordinary love. So first, the nature of extraordinary love and the outcome of extraordinary love. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to St. Luke chapter 6, because that's where we're going to be coming from. And the first point I want to make to you this morning is that the nature of extraordinary love is that it seeks the welfare of others even at the expense of self. The nature of extraordinary love is that it seeks the welfare of others even at the expense of self. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, love is going to cost you something. Oh my goodness, I can't even hear you. Okay, let's go over here. Turn to the person behind you and say, neighbor, love is going to cost you something. Yeah, it's not cheap. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And so in St. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, you know, this is Jesus speaking, and it reads, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. St. Luke 6, verse 27, it says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies." You see, let me set the context for you here. Here Jesus was giving some instruction to a host of people. And he was talking to both his disciples and he was talking to the crowd. But if you look at the section that precedes this, Jesus was focusing his attention only on his disciples because there was a large crowd, and he was focusing his instruction on only the disciples. And so now, as he transitions to this point, he turns to everyone else and he says, "But to you who are listening." So he's not just talking exclusively about the believers and those who are close to him, but he's talking to everyone in general. And he says here, "Love your enemies." Love your enemies. As we're going through this morning, you know, the question becomes, who is your enemy? Because I don't know about you, it's easy to love someone who is lovable. Okay, I'm the only one. Okay. It's easy to love someone who is lovable. But for someone who is unlovable, how do you love that person, especially if that person is your enemy? Notice here that Jesus is not talking about the person you don't like. No, he's not talking about that person. He's talking about the person that you know is trying to be hostile to you, the person who is trying to destroy you, the person who is trying to pull you down. This is the person that Jesus says, "Hey, love your enemies." Right? And the reality is that, you know, when it comes to love, it's going to be wider than you expect. It's going to be wider than you expect. You see, as we continue in the text, Jesus says here, he says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." In other words, could we get that slide up? If you are misunderstanding what Jesus is talking about here, he says that there are going to be folks who hate you, but guess what? You should do good for them. There are going to be people around you that curse you. Guess what? You should bless them. And there are going to be people around you who's going to mistreat you. He says, pray for them. So when we think of this, you know, love, the demands of love is wider than you expect. It's not only reserved for people who are lovable. It's not only reserved for those who you like. But no, Jesus is saying, hey, you better expand your range here. It's going to encompass. It's going to enlarge those that you love. Not only is it wider than you expect, but it's more demanding than you think. It is more demanding than you think. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. That is demanding. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to pray for someone that comes up to me and say, hey, pastor, can you pray for me? It's easy for me to pray for that person. It's easy for me to speak words of blessing, you know, over someone that, you know what, that has been a blessing to me. It's easy for me to go and do good for someone who has done good to me. But here Jesus is saying, no, the person that I want you to pray for, the person that I want you to bless, the person that I want you to do good for is the person that is hostile to you. It is more demanding than you think. Turn to somebody and say, hey, love is going to cost you something. It's quiet in here. Because the reality is, when you look at Jesus' instruction, when you look at Jesus' instruction, it rubs against our natural tendency, doesn't it? Because when somebody hates us, you know, it's easy for us to reciprocate that. It's easy for us to hate them back. But when Jesus says, no, don't hate them back, I want you to love them, it rubs against our natural instinct, and it's going to cost us something. For some of us, it's going to cost you your pain. Because some of us, we feel justified in our pain. For some of us, it's going to cost us our anger. We're going to have to give up on that anger. For some of us, it's going to cost us our pride. We're going to have to humble ourselves and pray and do good and bless and love those who are hostile to us. And the reality is, when you look at our context, when you look at what is going on in our society, if ever a time the believer, if ever a time the person who calls themselves a follower of Jesus of Christ needs to rise up and show love, it's now. It's not time to reciprocate. It's time to be different. Amen? This love is going to cost you something. Now, So we said that the nature of this love is that it seeks the welfare of others, even to the expense of self. But the second thing here, as we look at the text and what I'm doing, I'm reading a little and I'm explaining a little, because I don't want us to rush through this thing, because many of us, whenever we read the Bible and we come to passages like this, we have a tendency of just rushing through. Oh, love your enemies, and we just quickly go to the next verse. But I want us to sit here for a minute. So the second thing is that love gives up the right to retaliate. This extraordinary love, it gives up the right to retaliate. I'm going to say it one more time. This extraordinary love, it gives up the right to retaliate. Let's look at the text. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them. Oh, Lord, this is hard. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold from them your shirt. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. This extraordinary love that we're talking about this morning, it gives up the right to retaliate. And let me just say something here, just on the offset. Jesus here is not talking... Many of us, we've been in abusive relationships, and some of us been in abusive marriages where, you know what, you know, we've experienced hurt, and we've experienced just physical abuse at the hands of our spouse. That is not what Jesus is talking about here. The reality is, if you find, you know, some of us, God has redeemed our marriage and God has pulled us back, but man, if you find yourself in that situation, run. Okay, it's going to be quiet, run. Because Jesus is not talking about here going home to the enemy. Here he's not talking about sleeping with the enemy. He's talking about the enemy invading your turf, and he's talking about how should you respond and react to them. Does that make sense? Okay, it's quiet. That's good. The reason I say that is because when Jesus died for you, and I don't think he's going to hook you up with somebody who's going to kill you, somebody who's going to keep you down, somebody who's going to be hostile to you. And I'm not suggesting that God is not able to redeem our marriage. He is. But if there's no sense that the person is repentant and that this person is going through the process of change, run for your life. I've seen and I've heard too many stories of people staying in a situation where they give up their lives. That's tough. But you know what? God is able to redeem us. Amen? Amen. So what Jesus is talking about here is that the enemy has come in, and he is doing something, he is hostile against you, and the question is, how should we respond? And the beauty about this is that this is the antidote for the person who is aggressive and also for the person who is meek in spirit. It gives up the right to retaliate. It is the antidote for those who are aggressive by nature and those who are meek in spirit. What do I mean? If someone is aggressive in nature and the enemy comes in, what are they going to do? They're going to want to... Talk back to me. They're going to want to fight back, right? They're going to want to fight back. And it's tit for tat. If you punch me, I'm going to make sure I take you out. If you punch, I'm going to make it. It will be the last time you touch me, right? That is the aggressive person. But if the aggressive person reacts in such a way, right, it's what this text tells us is that it tempers that person's reaction. Do you see what is happening here? If you're loving someone, if you're doing good to someone who is hurting you, if you're praying and you're blessing someone who is doing things that are encroaching on your freedom, right, and you refuse, you give up the right to retaliate, it tempers your initial reaction. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see? But it is also the antidote for the person who, on the outward, is peaceful. Because sometimes the person who does not retaliate, the person who is passive, if you will, they won't fight back. But you know what happens? Deep in their heart, they're building up resentment and they're building up bitterness. And before you know it, this person is not going to necessarily blurt out at you and fight you and punch you back. But this person, you know what? They're going to be what we call passive aggressive. You know, you might ask them to do something and they just don't do it, or they will do it with an attitude. Do you see what I'm saying? But this extraordinary love, it's also an antidote for that person. Why? Because Jesus says, pray for that person. Bless that person. And I don't know about you, but it's hard to pray for someone if your heart is bitter. It's quiet. It's good. And Jesus is saying that is exactly what you need to do as a person in order to build, in order to mature, in order to become the person that I want you to be. Amen? Amen? Why is this important? Why is this important? There's a powerful passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A few weeks ago, we had lunch at work, and we went out to this restaurant, and I ordered the sandwich. And for some reason, the sandwich had some sauce in it. And as I went in to bite, some of the sauce escaped my mouth and landed on my pants in a very conspicuous area. And so I just couldn't hide it. And so I got up and I went to the restroom, and I tried to blot out the grease in that area. but I think, you know, I was just trying to say, you know what? Let me get it out. And I thought I did. And actually, I think I did. And so I went home. I hung up the pants on the rack and everything like that. And I had taken a week off over the Christmas, and last week I went back to take the pants down to put it on to get ready for work, and I realized that there was a hole in the pants, and it was in the exact spot that I was trying to take out the grease. And I was a little bit upset, because I don't know about you, but how many of us have gone shopping lately? I mean, you know, some pants, they're expensive. They're not cheap. And so I was upset, because here is a perfectly good pair of pants ruined. Not because there's a big patch in it, because there's a small hole. And the point I want to make to you is that when we engage in evil action, it leaves a stain on our hearts. And it renders us, and after a while, it self-destructs. We self-destruct. Do you see what I'm talking about? We're there, we engage in evil, we play tit for tat, we engage in evil behaviors, we engage in evil action, because you know what, we want to retaliate. And after a while, there's a stain on our heart, and we're trying to get rid of that stain. We're trying to rub it out our own way. We're trying to eradicate, we're trying to move it, because you know what, it doesn't feel good right here. And the more we try to remove that stain, instead of bringing it over to the professional, the more we try to remove that stain is the more damage we're causing to our heart. And before you know it, you're rendered ineffective, because your heart is ruined. A perfectly good pair of pants. It's not as though it was in the side right here. You know, you could hide it, or you could stitch it, and you could hide, you know, and you could wear it. No, it was somewhere where it was very visible. And a perfect good pair of pants is ruined. What I'm saying to you this morning, when Jesus says, hey, you know what? Don't play tit for tat. Don't retaliate. What he's trying to do, he's trying to protect your heart. Because he knows that once we engage in these behaviors, once we engage in these evil actions, it stains and ruins our heart. Amen? Amen? Amen. So first, the nature of extraordinary love. The nature of extraordinary love. It looks out for the welfare of others, even at the expense of self. Not only that, it gives up the right to retaliate. And now let's jump over to the outcome of extraordinary love. the outcome of extraordinary love. You see, the outcome is that it shapes our inner self to reflect the heart of Christ. And if you have a paper, write that down, because that's good right there. It shapes the inner self. It shapes us so that we can reflect Christ. That's what extraordinary love does. What we're going to do, we're going to jump down to verse 35. Here's what Jesus says. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. Because. Let's stay right there. Notice what Jesus is saying here is that when we love our enemies, when we do good to them, when we lend to them and don't expect anything back, he's saying that we have a reward. And it's not as though we're going to engage in these behaviors for the express purpose of receiving a reward. No, we are engaging in these acts because, you know what? That is how Jesus treated us. The Bible tells me that we were once enemies of God. We were you know, rebellious against him. But there came a time in our lives when we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and we gave our heart to him. And guess what? He loved us even though we were his enemies. He loved us without expecting anything in return. Can you imagine that? If I'm going to die for you, you know, knowing me, if I'm going to die for you, I'm going to expect something in return. I'm going to demand something from you. If I'm going to give up all this for you, I'm going to expect something back from you. But Jesus died on the cross. And John 3:16 says, so that whosoever, it means then that there might be some people who reject him. And you know what? Even though that burns the heart of God, you know what? He's not going to drag you into heaven. He's not going to drag you to love him, you know, kicking and screaming. No, he's going to say, hey, I'm leaving it up to you. You know what? This is what I've done for you, and I'm leaving it up to you. Because how many of us know that we can love people in spite of their mess? And there are some people who have loved us in spite of our mess. And when we see how they've loved us, when we see how they've been patient with us, when we see how they've been kind to us, when we see how they've been diligent to us, we after a while our heart just melts. It's like, you know what, I give up. I give up. And that is what Jesus has done for us. Even though we were his enemies, even though we were rebellious against him, he died for us. And he says, you know what? In due season, in due time, you will see and you will appreciate what I've done for you. Amen. It says, then your reward will be great and you'll be children of the Most High. Because, here's the key point. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And he says now, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What are we talking about here? It says, you see, extraordinary love, the outcome of extraordinary love is that we become more gentle to those who are offensive. We become more gentle to those who are offensive. And secondly, we are more gracious to those who are undeserving. We are more gracious to those who are undeserving. And let me take some time here. I don't know about you, but many of us, we try to avoid pain because we think that when we avoid pains, our life is better. But I don't know about you, but I've been around folks who have experienced hardships and pain. And in talking to them, in relating to them, there is a certain gentleness in their spirit. There is a certain graciousness with which they talk to you. There's a certain... You can't even put your hand on it, but you know, you walk away from them wishing that, wow, I wish I could be like that person. But the question is, if you want to be like that person, are you willing to go through what they went through in order to become who they are? You see, in our culture, in our society, I don't know about you, but we're busy doing a lot of stuff, you know, and sometimes the doing doesn't get us anywhere. Thank you, I have a witness. It doesn't, you know, you're on the grind, and you're like, wow, what am I doing? It's not getting you anywhere. So we're busy doing, but we're never becoming. And there's some people who are just so happy being that they actually never do anything. I'm going to be loving, and yet they never put themselves in a situation to be loving. Oh, I'm going to be giving, but they never put themselves in a position to be giving. I'm just going to be, but they never do. What Jesus is teaching us here is that we become by doing. I'm going to say that one more time. What Jesus is teaching is that our hearts are transformed, not by just being, but it is by doing. You see? So now, if we are going to reflect Christ, if we are going to be the children of God, if we are going to be the light of the world, Jesus is calling us not to just love those who are lovable, because that's easy. Not to just love those who are our family members, you know what, because that's easy. Not to just love those who are of our nationality and speak the way we speak, eat the things we eat, drive the cars we drive, live where we live. No, Jesus is going to call us to those who are different. He's going to call us to love those who, you know what, at times might even curse us, at times might even be hostile to us. But you know what? That is what he did for us. Amen? Amen? And that is what he's calling us to be. Could you stand to your feet? I don't know about you, but when I was going through this week, God was just, man. Because how many of us know that, you know, many a times when the word comes, you know, the speaker has to first eat from the word before the speaker can actually share the word. Oh, some of us don't know about cooking. Okay. But God has been working on my heart all this week, and I struggle with this message. And I'm sure that there are many of us in here who are struggling with the same thing. And God is saying, hey, this is not something that you should ignore, but this is something that you need to address. And as you bow your heads this morning, the question I have for you this morning is, who do you consider your enemies to be? Who do you consider your enemies to be? You know, some of us, we have them on the jobs, don't we? Some of us, we have them in our neighborhoods. They live right beside us. Right? Who do you consider your enemies to be? And the second question is, what are you doing to show the love of Jesus Christ to that person? No, you're not trying to hide from them. No, you're not trying to ignore them. No, you're not trying to run away from them. The question is, what are you doing to show the love of Jesus Christ to that person? It says, love your enemies. Do good, speak words of blessing, and pray for them. Amen? So even if they're far away, you might not be able to do something good, but you can pray. The beauty about cell phone is, in our day and age is that no matter where you are on the globe, I can connect. And the truth is, there are some of us, we need to bridge that gap. We need to become that bridge that builds it from, you know what? This is where I am. This is where I should be, and it's going to take love to build that bridge. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me. Dear God, in this solemn moment, we open up our hearts to you. God, we say, take out those things that don't belong there and put your love there. God, we ask that as we submit our lives to you, that we'll no longer choose to live our own way, but we will follow your commands and we will reflect your heart in a society, in a culture that is dying. I pray, dear God, that you will transform us wherever we are. Help us, oh Father God, to create this action plan. Help us to do something, oh Father God, that builds that bridge towards those that we consider our enemies. Help us no longer to hold on to our anger. Help us no longer hold on to our pain. Help us no longer hold on to our pride. But help us to humble ourselves, mighty God, and go to such a person and just love them the way you have loved us. Father God, I pray that you give us the grace to love you Give us the grace to love those who are around us. And give us the grace to reflect your heart in a culture, in a society, to a people that needs it the most. Thank you, God, for your love towards us. In Jesus' name we pray.